Thank you for downloading the Pawnee Bill Ranch podcast, brought to you by the staff of the Pawnee Bill Ranch.
Welcome to the Pawnee Bill Ranch podcast. I'm Erin Brown, Pawnee Bill Ranch curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawnee Bill Ranch historical interpreter.
The spooky music is back, and the air is certainly getting chilly here at the Pawnee Bill Ranch, and that means that our favorite time of year is here, fall, and with fall comes Halloween. Now, just like last year, our October podcast is dedicated to Halloween and all of the spooky stories that we've gathered here at the Pawnee Bill Ranch. Halloween is such a huge part of life here in Pawnee that we can't possibly let the month go by without discussing some peculiar topic. Now, we might be cutting it close. Some of our listeners might not get the podcast until after Halloween, but that is no reason to let the spookiness die.
Yeah, be spooky year-round.
Be spooky year-round. Keep that Halloween spirit going. So we apologize if you don't quite get the podcast by Halloween. We're trying really hard to get it to you, but some things are out of our control. So last year, we did a really fun podcast mm-hmm. where we talked about our famous ghost painting and some of people's opinions about whether or not Pawnee Bill's mansion is haunted.
We call them our ghostesses.
Our ghostesses, that's right. So we actually had a really funny story where a visitor asked us in all seriousness if we had ghostesses. So that's our that's our little tag word now. It's the ghostesses. They're up and about. But Pawnee is a place that loves its local lore and strange tales. And who doesn't? Who doesn't like a creepy story? So sometimes those stories take on a life of their own. And our topic today is certainly one of those tales.
Right. Our Halloween podcast this year is focused on an event that began way back in 1908 with a chance meeting between Pawnee Bill and a New Jersey physician named Dr. William Moore. This meeting would create the most state-of-the-art hospital that the town of Pawnee had ever seen to that point in their history. It was a modern marvel modeled after hospitals on the East Coast and meant to bring a little bit of luxury to the patients who were being treated here in Pawnee. Plans were made to expand the facility beyond the confines of the simple white building that was originally built on the grounds, but all of that halted in 1913 with the death of the illustrious Dr. Moore. His death is still the object of much debate here in Pawnee, and it actually has some pretty startling twists and turns. So, this month we are going to discuss the Buffalo Park Sanatorium and the death of Dr. William Moore.
Now, just the mention of the word sanatorium can conjure up some pretty creepy imagery, but the type of institution that we are referring to is not to be confused with another common association for the word, and that is a hospital that was used to treat the mentally ill. During last year's podcast on Billy Lilly, we spoke about the difference between a sanatorium and a sanitarium. A sanatorium was conceived to be a type of hospital combined with a health spa. It was for rejuvenation. Sanatoriums were often used for long-term rehabilitation for illnesses such as tuberculosis. Before the use of antibiotics, doctors would prescribe a combination of good nutrition and rest in hopes that certain climates would heal patients of their persistent lung problems. So people would spend a lengthy amount of time in these sanatoriums, but they might often be used to describe a sort of hospital in places where there wasn't a traditional hospital.
Right, and Pawnee at that time was definitely a place that did not have a traditional hospital. There were a few facilities in town and a number of doctors who worked in town and for the tribe. But these places were small and they were woefully ill-equipped. There is actually a private house just down the street from the ranch today that was originally a hospital for the town. And when you look at it, you have to wonder how they had any room to do anything in there for their patients. So why in the world would Pawnee Bill, a Wild West showman, a man who had no medical background, be interested in building a sanatorium on his buffalo ranch? It's a really good question that we don't really have an answer to. We don't have anything of Pawnee Bill's own words on the topic. It could have been that he just saw that his town had a need that needed to be fulfilled, and he was going to find the right person for the job.
Because there's nothing written in Pawnee Bill's own words about the Buffalo Park Sanatorium, we have to rely on secondary source material, these publicity materials of that time, to give us our information. According to a newspaper accounts at the time, Pawnee Bill was with his show in New Jersey when one of his riders was hurt during a performance. The rider suffered an injury in the arena and it needed immediate medical attention. It kind of brings to mind the images of someone yelling, "Is there a doctor in the house?" So Dr. Moore was in the audience during the show, and he came right into the arena. He came to the man's assistance, and he sort of gallantly refused to be paid for his services. So the fact that this man, who had done a tremendous service for this individual, for the Wild West show, the fact that he refused payment really resonated deeply with Pawnee Bill. He developed this kind of instant respect and admiration for him, and Pawnee Bill told him that he was a Westerner at heart, and their friendship developed from there.
Yeah, Dr. Moore was a native of New Jersey. He was born in New Brunswick. He was raised in New Brunswick. He was a graduate of Bellevue Hospital in New York, and he owned a very large sanatorium in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He had a very young family. He had a wife named Hetty, and his daughter was also named Hetty. They lived in New Jersey with him, and life seemed pretty good for the Moore family. He was successful. He seemed to be pretty settled in his practice. And he was a guy who liked to work tirelessly for things. So sometime between 1908 and 1909, May Lilly sought treatment at Dr. Moore's sanatorium for an unknown illness. And she would actually be treated there many times over the course of about a year. And because of this, the Lilly's friendship with the doctor actually continued to grow.
Right. So May would have been treated at that New Brunswick sanatorium when they were on tour with the Wild West show. And one of the things that we've come across in our research recently, Anna and I have been doing research on May Lilly, pretty in-depth research, is the fact that May Lilly spent quite a bit of her time going to doctors and seeking medical advice. We know that she had some serious complications as a result of her son's birth back when she was a young woman in 1887. She also had a hysterectomy at some point in her life. And the Pawnee newspaper reported of an appendectomy around 1910 performed by Dr. Moore, as well as the serious carriage accident around 1912 in which she was pretty seriously injured. Her family also had these health problems. In the Manning family, there was a history of Bright's disease, cirrhosis of the liver, and heart disease. So it's really hard for us to know just what her specific health problems were, and that drives Anne and I crazy because really want to know what was going on with May. But she would continue to seek various treatments from different sources all throughout her life.
Yeah, and while May was being treated at Dr. Moore's facility, Pawnee Bill began to talk to him about this exciting life that they lived in Pawnee. Pawnee Bill was a showman. He knew how to tell a good story. And it seemed that Dr. Moore was completely captivated. He was in love with the idea of moving to Pawnee and building a new state-of-the-art facility. And all of a sudden, he disposed of his East Coast business. He sold his sanatorium, and he decided he was moving to Oklahoma. So he sells his facility. He brought his sister Margaret with him to act as his nurse, and he left New Jersey. But even more odd and surprising is that he left his family behind. His wife Hetty and his small daughter never came to Pawnee, and they remained in New Jersey for the rest of their lives.
Before Dr. Moore made the decision to permanently move to Oklahoma, he visited Blue Hawk Peak. And the Merrimack Weekly Monitor wrote that Dr. Moore was so taken with the Western people and climate, he decided to build up here an institution equal to any. So it seemed that Dr. Moore really liked this pure air. You know, this is a very isolated rural community. There's no pollution. And the climate was mild compared to a lot of other places in the United States. And so he felt like it would be beneficial to many patients. There were sanatoriums that catered to TB patients that had already been set up in Wichita, which isn't that far away. So it wasn't that far of a stretch to think that a care facility could be set up and be successful in Pawnee as well. The facility also would have been one of the only places to be treated at that had modern conveniences. Whatever Dr. Moore saw when he visited Pawnee, he decided to give up his entire life to come here and start from scratch in really the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the original Buffalo Park Sanatorium started in tents in the summer of 1909 in the Buffalo Pasture. It was even referred to as a camp sanatorium. And when we say tents, we literally mean little white canvas tents that were pitched out in the buffalo pasture where the buffalo were out roaming around. And surgeries would have been performed here. Patients would have been seen. Babies would have been born in the pasture. So it was a far cry away from the medical facilities that not only did we see today, but also that probably Dr. Moore was used to in New Jersey. The plans called for the new hospital to be a permanent institution with a magnificent modern hospital built. It was built on the highest knoll of the Buffalo Ranch, and it's really initially a beautiful design. It was to be grand and inviting and completely modern. The actualization of these particular plans didn't materialize, but the actual building was still very nice. It was modern, but just a little less grandiose. The plans for the sanatorium were drawn up by Fred Ull, who was referred to as Pawnee's efficient architect. He also supervised the construction of the building, although Dr. Moore personally inspected every detail of the progress. So not only was Dr. Moore intimately involved with the project, but he was also involved with it from the beginning. So the conception, the realization, and the management of the facility.
The original designs of the building, which we have in our archives, they were absolutely stunning. They involved this beautiful large central domed tower and two large wings to house patients. So not only was it really modern and nice on the inside, but the outside was conceived to be this really gorgeous, probably the prettiest building in Pawnee at the time.
Yeah, and if you want to see pictures of it, you just search newspapers of the time for the Buffalo Park Sanatorium, and you'll see pictures of this amazing two-winged building.
Yeah, had those original plans been constructed, it would have been probably one of the largest buildings in this area of Oklahoma. The sanitarium was an amazing institution nonetheless. Even as the way it was built, it was pretty modern and efficient. It had a water filtration and sterilization system, state-of-the-art medical utensils, a glassed-in operating room to allow for this optimum and natural light. They had an ideal vacuum system of steam heating, a cooling system, administrative offices, a kitchen, sleeping quarters. Dr. Moore's personal quarters were also in this building. It was filled with the nicest furniture that you could have at the time, and it was finished really beautifully with porcelain and nickel finishes. This place even had an on-site laboratory and the best microscopes you could have at the time. We could really go on and on describing this place, but to suffice it to say that when it opened in 1910, it was an amazing thing for Pawnee. Residents here in this rural area had access to the best medical facility that money could buy, and the building and the equipment was all bankrolled by this East Coast doctor, Dr. Moore.
Yeah, and you can also see photographs of the original interior in some of the press releases. So again, if you search for these newspapers for the Buffalo Park Sanatorium, you'll see photographs of these amazing rooms and the facilities that they had. And from all accounts, you know, Dr. Moore really seemed to be a workaholic. He worked tirelessly. He lived on the site, so not only would patients come in at all hours, but he was also there constantly to treat them. He devoted all of his energy to his sanatorium. He told newspapers that he loved the area. He enjoyed the people of Oklahoma. He said he felt a lot of gratitude towards Pawneeville for giving him advice and standing by his side. And Moore felt very welcome and was enjoying extreme success. He had even brought a small staff of nurses with him from New Jersey to help run the facility. And from the beginning, the hospital was reported to have had a waiting list. He couldn't see all the patients that wanted treatment, but he tried his hardest. Newspapers reported people coming from every county in Oklahoma to this modern and beautiful facility. Moore was a visionary. He was a big dreamer. And an article says this about it. "This has been built without a moment's thought or the expenditure of a penny by a single citizen other than Dr. Moore himself. It does seem that his faith in the possibilities he has shown in undertaking this great work in our city ought to make a bolster of each of us, and in helping to make this the greatest sanatorium in the world." Dr. Moore's enthusiasm and belief in the betterment of the human condition just seemed to be inspiring for everyone here.
Yeah, he seems to be a really good guy.
Yeah, we can't find anything negative about this.
No, not even in New Jersey. There's just nothing negative written about him. He seems to have been really widely respected and well thought of. in Pawnee, there are numerous newspaper articles talking about how wonderful Dr. Moore is, and they describe social events in which he was involved in. So not only did he, you know, work tirelessly in the sanatorium, but he really worked hard to try to improve Pawnee as a town in all the ways that he could. He was a member of the Masonic Lodge, and he ran in that same social circle as Pawnee Bill and Frank Phillips. His sister Margaret was also deeply involved in social circles and civic organizations here. The siblings were very close, and they relied upon one another heavily since they were so far away from home. In fact, for one of Dr. Moore's birthdays, a newspaper reports that Margaret organized this surprise birthday dinner for him in the garden of the sanatorium. All of his local friends and the nurses attended, and the dinner was served under Chinese lanterns that had been hung from all of the trees in the garden. So it kind of creates this really twinkly, sweet environment we can just imagine. They settled into this seemingly really pretty magical life here in Pawnee. Things seemed to be going very well for the doctor's business. Really, the only thing missing from the scene was his family back in New Jersey. And we really don't know why they didn't come. It could be any number of things. Setting up a practice in rural Oklahoma was a huge gamble, and no one knew how it would pay off in the end. It could be that he wanted them to stay on the East Coast till he was really established and he was as financially successful as he thought he should be for them to come out here. Or they could have said, no way are we leaving the East Coast to go out and live in the middle of nowhere. You just go on your own. And there were problems. We just don't know.
And despite all of these good things that were happening for Dr. Moore, something went horribly wrong. No one knows what led up to the morning of February 12th of 1913. From all accounts, Dr. Moore was successful. He was thriving. His business was booming. Again, he had more business than he knew what to do with. But all of that sometimes isn't enough to make a person happy. On the morning of February 12th of 1913 at 10:45 a.m., Dr. W.M. Moore stood in front of the mirror in his bedroom. He placed an automatic revolver to his head, and he shot himself. He left no suicide note. No one saw it coming. He was a happy person who gave no one any indication of what he was about to do. He died in the institution that was such a shining example of what hard work and dedication could achieve. And it was one of the most shocking things that had happened in Pawnee, and people actually still talk about his death today. I mean, it's 101 years later, and people still refer to the death of Dr. Moore. His suicide made headlines around northern Oklahoma, and it really left a lot of people questioning not only what had happened, but, you know, what they could have done. They were just looking for answers to this tragic event.
Right, and we know exactly what time he died because his nurse discovered him, and yes, she heard the gunshot and ran in there. So the Pawnee Courier-Dispatch had this to say 2 days after his suicide. Few men in the community have made more friends than Dr. Moore in the comparatively short time he has lived in Pawnee. Aside from being an eminent physician, a skilled surgeon, he was without a doubt the highest type of gentleman, and his death is deplored by all. His nurses talked about what a wonderful community Pawnee was and how they would miss everyone that they had come to know in their years at the Buffalo Park Sanatorium. RN Lila McElroy recorded this about her time in Pawnee. I can never forget that among the memories that will remain with me always is that of the universal kindness shown me by the citizens whose friendship was broad and generous enough to include me in their love for the institution and work so tragically ended. I never was in a community that contained so many wholehearted people.
Yeah, Dr. Moore's sister, Margaret, was really left reeling by the death of her brother. Again, you know, they were so far away from home and they really depended on each other. And it just came as such a shock when the suicide occurred. They actually had to send a telegram to his wife saying, you know, he had passed away. They were waiting to hear what she wanted. But Margaret's really the one who took charge of everything. She made the arrangements to have him buried out at Highland Cemetery. He's still out there north of Pawnee. He has this very unusual headstone. If you go on findagrave.com, you can type in Dr. William Moore and it'll come up. It's this very odd looking headstone. And Margaret, you know, seemed to really enjoy Pawnee because she continued to live here for decades after his passing. We know that his wife, Hetty, never remarried. She lived the rest of her life in New Jersey. She's buried under a headstone that says the wife of Dr. William Moore. So she still had a connection to him. His daughter got married in the 1930s and she did have children, but the family never left the New Brunswick area. They never even ventured out of that area of New Jersey. So, you know, it's really sad, and our story could have ended right there, but like any small town, when a major event occurs, the rumors started to fly almost immediately.
Right. If you've ever spent time in a town the size of Pawnee or in Pawnee at all, where everyone knows everybody, it's pretty common to start hearing things that might not be the truth. Shortly after Dr. Moore's death, people started to talk, and nasty gossip popped up that Dr. Moore's death hadn't been the result of a suicide, but a murder. I think that's pretty common in situations where somebody commits suicide and no one ever saw it coming. There was no indication. There's just this feeling that people cannot accept that that can happen. And so people start to talk and wonder if there was foul play involved. And that was exactly what happened after Dr. Moore's death. Because there was no suicide note, theories started to emerge that Dr. Moore maybe had been murdered by a patient at the sanitarium. People started to talk that maybe he had had an affair and there was a jealous husband here in town that murdered him. When something tragic happens, like a suicide, it's just hard to wrap your mind around. So a coroner's inquest was held, and a panel of doctors determined that it wasn't possible that he could have been murdered, that he took his own life at his own hand. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, people still talk about this rumor today. Like, I've heard it recently. I mean, within the past couple of months, about they don't know his name anymore. They don't call him Dr. Moore anymore. He's just turned into the doctor who killed himself. And, you know, they still talk about the fact that, oh, where would he have gotten a gun like that? And why would he have done it? And, you know, this and that. So he's still definitely talked about. He's kind of become a local legend here in Pawnee. So
right.
He's still definitely talked
and
about.
And anytime there's a connection, especially with Pawnee Bill, they're the people that I like to call the begrudgers.
Yes.
who really like to throw stones at people in positions of success or any type of fame. So a lot of times we'll hear these rumors. Well, don't you think Pawnee Bill was involved? And like, No.
Absolutely not.
Pawneeville was deeply saddened and shocked, as was May. And as much as people like to create foul play and a mystery where there is none, the sad truth is this man killed himself and no one will ever know why.
Yeah, and also, you know, he was one of Pawneeville's very good friends, and Pawneeville was fiercely loyal to people. He loved his friends. He was very generous with his friends, and so, you know, we find no truth in the rumors that Pawneeville might have been involved with this tragic death. The property that the Buffalo Sanatorium was built on was originally owned by Pawnee Bill's parents, Newton and Susan Lilly. The property had actually been leased to Dr. Moore, and Dr. Moore had built the facility, of course, with his own money. So after his death, the property reverted back to the Lilly family. And we believe that Pawnee Bill was acting as the owner and operator of that property at this time because his father, Newton, was in pretty declining health by this point. And in 1915, Pawnee Bill deeded the property to the Buffalo Park Sanatorium for $225. And that same day, the hospital was sold to the Arkansas Valley National Bank for $4,000. Pawnee Bill was the major stockholder in this bank. Shortly after, another doctor came in, purchased the property, began running the Buffalo Park Sanatorium again. A lot of people in town will say, well, it sat vacant all that time. No, another doctor actually came in, reopened the facility. People were seen there. So it actually did have kind of a second life after Dr. Moore. We are not really sure of how long the facility operated under this other doctor, but the building became a private residence in later years. The cement building is still here in Pawnee. It's still under private ownership, and it can still be seen from our vantage point here on Blue Hawk Peak. And I've also heard people say that it's haunted. Of course, anytime you have a tragic event like that happen, they're always going to say it's haunted. So
exactly, exactly. And it is it's a really tragic story, and it's easy to see why some people can be afraid of that building. But we hope you've enjoyed our October podcast. We hope it gets to you by Halloween. If not, we hope you enjoy it anyway. So thank you so much for listening. Next month, actually, Pawnee Bill will be talking to you. We're going to share a WKY interview with Pawnee Bill from 1939. So we hope you'll tune in to that. But we thank you so much for listening. My name is Erin Brown.
And I'm Anna Davis. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The Pawnee Bill Ranch is owned and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society. For more information, go to www.pawneebillranch.com or find us on Facebook under Pawnee Bill Ranch and Museum.